You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is The Gailey Show. I'm JP Darbagosian. We are your answer to the question, what queer thing could I read, watch, or go to this week in Minnesota and beyond? To kick us off today, don't forget that the New Eagle Creek Saloon is now open at the Walker Arts Center. If you're watching on YouTube, we've got some preview images of the installation. It just opened on March 7th. The New Eagle Creek Saloon is artist Sadie Barnett's reimagining of her father's bar, the first Black-owned gay bar in San Francisco. The exhibit will be open from March 7th through May 19th, and it is immersive, as in it's a fully functioning bar. There are going to be community events throughout the run, so for more information, head to walkerart.org. And you can now buy your tickets for Theater Latte Da's The Color Purple, which opens March 20th. It is a co-production, actually, with Jiva Theater in New York, so it's going to play here in the cities before moving to the Jiva later this spring. We'll be having interviews with cast members later this month, so stay tuned to this space. Hairspray is going to be at the Ordway next week, March 12th through the 17th. It's an all-new touring production, and the musical isn't gay per se, but I would say it's super queer. If you haven't seen it before or seen the film, it's 1960s Baltimore, and our heroine is 16-year-old Tracy Turnblad, whose big dream is to dance on TV's most popular TV show. You may already know the songs Welcome to the 60s, Good Morning Baltimore, and You Can't Stop the Beat. There are still tickets available, but they're starting to get limited. I checked their website, so go to ordway.org. On TV, Young Royals is back. Season 3 drops on Monday, March 11th. Netflix is holding the final episode until March 18th, and I do not like this trend of dripping content each week. Disney started it, and Max followed them, HBO Max, and I hope Netflix isn't going to start dropping this, or doing this too, rather, where they release some episodes one week and then wait to release episodes. They did this with The Crown last year, splitting the final season in two, but the way The Crown turned out, maybe they should have just kept those last episodes to themselves. Anyhow, The Young Royals hails from Sweden. It's sort of like Heartstopper, but if one of them was a prince. So if you haven't seen it, a young middle-class kid, Simon, gets to go to a super elite high school that is so good, the princes of Sweden go there. And there he meets the youngest prince of Sweden, Wilhelm. Wilhelm has the whole party boy, I'm the spare, not the heir to the throne. Think Prince Harry, circa early 2000s. It turns out that Wilhelm and Simon are attracted to each other, and Simon rather flirts with Wilhelm, and they start a secret romance, because can a prince of Sweden be a gay? And the first two seasons covered their covert relationship, being outed and trying to navigate all the teenage drama of love in high school, while also dealing with the fact that one of them is, you know, a prince. Add to that another layer of drama in that Wilhelm's older brother dies and suddenly he's going to be king one day. Based on the season 3 trailer, it looks like we are in store for some major drama. Wilhelm's cousin is trying to make a play for the throne. I do not like him. The queen is putting pressure on both Wilhelm to be more king-like. Simon keeps trying to help, but everything he does seems to be backfiring. The trailer also hints that Wilhelm might abdicate altogether. Young Royals Season 3, it's also the final season, so catch up this weekend and watch the new season on March 11th. Also on TV this weekend is the Oscars. And what's more gay than the Oscars? Well, not the Oscars, as it turns out, because almost all of the nominees are straight and cisgender people. Fingers crossed that Colman Domingo will pull off a surprise win for Best Actor. If you haven't seen Netflix's Rustin, rather, watch it. The film is the first real movie about Bayard Rustin, who was a major influence on the civil rights movement, and basically the reason why there was a March on Washington. You know, the same March on Washington that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Dream speech. We don't know much about Bayard because he was gay and his role was deliberately marginalized because of it. And, fun fact, Colman is the first out actor to be nominated for the Best Actor Academy Award in the entire 21st century. Like all of it. The last time an out actor was nominated in this category was 1998. Sir Ian McKellen. The Oscars do not like queer actors in this category. It's a bit different for Best Actress. In 2018, 2019, and 2021, a queer actor was nominated in this category: Lady Gaga, Cynthia Erivo, and Kristen Stewart. And this year, it's looking good that Lily Gladstone might win Best Actress. Lily identifies as non-binary two-spirit and was recently interviewed by The Hollywood Reporter and told them that in most native languages, there are no gendered pronouns. So Lily uses she, they. Lily was raised on the Blackfeet Native Reservation in Montana. They star in Killers of the Flower Moon. But no out actress has ever won this category at the time of voting. Jodie Foster and Susan Sarandon came out decades after their respective wins. Lily Gladstone is also the first Native American actor to ever be nominated in this category. There is an interesting distinction here, though, however, because there have been Indigenous actresses nominated, but not a Native American actress. On the supporting actor side of things, no out actors have been nominated here, but fun fact, Sir Ian McKellen was the last out actor to be nominated in this category, and that was in 2001. And for Best Supporting Actress, well, we actually have some wins in this category. Out actresses Tilda Swinton and Ariana DeBose have both won the Oscar in this category in 2007 and 2021. Last year, Stephanie Soo was nominated, and this year, Jodie Foster is. Other queers to root for this year include the film Nimona in Best Animated Feature, The ABCs of Book Banning is in the Short Documentary category, and Billie Eilish is up for Best Song for Barbie. However, the Oscars are dead to me this year because they didn't nominate All of Us Strangers for anything. So I'll be watching in protest, but also rooting for my queer fam. So this past weekend, I got the chance to watch the new film I Love You More with our executive producer, Jim Pounds. It's from filmmaker Erblin Nushi, and Jim joins me to chat about it. Well, hi, Jim. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, JP. How are you?
I'm well. So, I Love You More, new film. We just watched it on streaming on Prime. It's available on Prime. You have to still like purchase it, but the purchasing was actually pretty decent. I think it was like $3.99 for it. So, what did you think? I Love You More.
I thought it was, it's not always clear. I think it was intentionally ambiguous of what story they were exactly telling. Right? They could have been talking about young love. They could have been talking about family dynamics. They could have been talking about all of the above. And so whenever something's left to your own ability to put it together, and it's ambiguous like that, it always frustrates me. Sometimes I just need to be told exactly what to think, which I know is very Virgo of me. But I appreciated that both of those points of view, that is of the family and of these young characters, were, you know, sincerely felt and honestly represented. And I felt like you could have found your loyalties lying one place or the other, or back and forth. Sometimes I would be frustrated with the family or frustrated with the young would-be lovers, I guess we'll call it. You haven't probably said what the story is, so maybe we should do that first.
Yeah, so there is, I guess he's 17 or 18-year-old. He's Ben. The whole thing takes place in Kosovo, which was gorgeously shot. But Ben, right, he's graduating. He's going to prom. His mom is making his soup, but that's her, like, her job. She's a tailor or seamstress. Makes clothes. And so, but he has this like secret relationship with a young man, Leo, in Germany. And so they've never actually met. It's been going on for a year. They've been secret texting and talking on the, you know, on their laptops, and they've been, you know, calling each other. But it's also like of a time where you had to have like credits on your phone. You know what I mean? You purchase time on your phone. So one of the things, the hurdles that comes up a lot is that, you know, they don't have enough credit on their phone to make the text or to make the calls. But they are finally going to meet. They've got it finally set up that they're going to meet in July. And Leo's going to come to Kosovo on a family vacation. But then Ben's family gets a green card. They get green cards for the whole family to join their sister who lives in the, Ben's sister in the United States. And so the family, the parents decide, well, we need to move in July. There's like a time crunch there. And so, Ben is like, wait, you got to be kidding me. I finally, after, 1 year, they're finally going to meet. And then, now this whole green card and, it's a big family move. I think that to me was interesting. I'll be curious what you thought of this, the idea that they're going to upend this entire big family change for some rando who lives in Germany.
Well, and it was, there was really no question that everybody wanted to move. I mean, nobody was resisting that or saying, what about grandma or whatever? What about, my friends? Or everybody was on the program to move. And suddenly there was this obstacle that nobody saw coming. And without revealing anything, that it takes another twist later on that I didn't see coming. And it left, the whole thing left me feeling ambiguous, which is what life is like, but I didn't like it because I wanted it to be, spoon fed and here, this is what you're supposed to think. And this is how you're supposed to feel. So I appreciated that there was an authenticity about everything was gray. Every character was a little gray. Nobody was a hero. Nobody was a villain. It was murky. And then, like you said, the idea of people wanting to upend their lives and everybody wanted to go through that. And I think you and I both said to each other watching it, wait till they get to the U.S., because there's another whole movie that's part of that, because there's this idealized sense of, don't you want to go there and have a great, have a better life? Which I'm, by some measure, we don't question that, but by some measure, maybe we should. And so I had a lot of ambiguous, it made me feel very ambiguous. And I know it's a privilege now of this much gay content to be able to say, well, it wasn't perfect, but in the old days, we were glad if somebody said the word gay. So the fact that this is complex and nuanced and that I had ambiguous feelings about it is probably just fine.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that we knew from the beginning they weren't going to be together. So many of these movies, it's, are they, aren't they, are they going to be together? Aren't they going to be yet? And then, but the problem is at the end of the movies, they're always not together anyway. Something comes up and to drive them apart. So I was happy that at least we knew from the get-go that they weren't going to end up together. And that wasn't the point of the story. The point was, this teenage love, and are they going to at least meet this one time? And if they do finally get to meet one time, like, what is that going to look like? Because clearly the main character, Ben, is all in that teenage puppy love, true romance. So does it actually end up being what he thinks it's going to be, this one night that he's built up into his head? And I think, I don't know if that was like for you or not. For me, it was very similar, that like you've been waiting for it for so long and it's finally happening and you've built it up in your head. And then it's almost like disappointing because it can never live up to all of that. Right. So it's interesting how they played that here.
And it wasn't particularly sexual. It was very much romantic. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure we didn't. It wasn't about that. That often is it's the hormones that motivate, but this seemed to be as much about holding and, romance and, and intimacy that was desired rather than, the sort of randy teenager thing that we might typically see. And I thought that was interesting and a little more soulful and a little more painful because it was, I don't know. I'll say deeper. I don't know if that's true, but that's the way it struck me anyway.
And Kosovo is gorgeous. Like the filmmaker, Erblin Nushi, the way that he shot that, a lot of times I found myself thinking, why do you want to come to the States? And I must have known there's a lot of other things that are going on there, because like one of the first lines that Ben has is that he wished he'd been born in America, right? But I mean, the way that it's shot, I mean, that's a gorgeous country.
Well, and where are they going? I felt like the sister was in New York, and I thought, "Whoo, are you going to have?"
That's
some...
a good question.
I don't know where I got that from, but So I guess what I would say everyone should take from this is that there's a lot going on here, and you can glom onto any one of 20 different tracks probably and say, this is how the story struck me, but it is not linear and it's not singular. It's kind of like a bowl of cherries, you know, you have to pick which one you're going to eat, I guess.
So out of 4 rainbows, how many rainbows would you give it?
I would give it 3 rainbows. I thought.
I'm the same.
It didn't satisfy my logical sense of if A, then B equals C. It didn't satisfy that, but I did feel for a lot of different people that were in the movie. A lot of those characters seemed palpable to me, and I appreciated their humanity.
Yeah, me too. Well, this has been fun. I know that we'll have, you know, films and TV shows that we're watching coming up here. So, Jim, you will be back, and I Love You More, available on Amazon Prime. And like I just said, I Love You More is available on Amazon Prime and on video on demand. Speaking of films, Problemista is out now. Well, it's not out yet here in the Twin Cities, but for those listening elsewhere, check your local theaters. It's going to be here in the cities in just a couple weeks. If you don't know Julio Torres, I really loved his comedy special on HBO Max. It's called My Favorite Shapes. And the entire show is this like conveyor belt that brings out various objects of different shapes. And he has a joke or a story that goes for each of them. It sounds weird because Julio is weird, but it's amazing. His show, Los Spookies, is also on Max. In that show, a group of friends create a business that puts on horror for people who need it. So like they fabricate scenes of film-like situations as if you're in a horror movie, but then trick people into thinking that they're real. So in the first episode, an older priest hires them to fake an exorcism so that he can be more popular than the new younger priest who's just come to town. It's weird and funny, and there are 2 seasons now streaming on Max. Problemista stars Julio and Tilda Swinton, so I'm already kind of in. This is Julio's first film, and he also writes and directs. It's a comedy about Alejandro, who is an aspiring toy designer from El Salvador and living in New York on a work visa. No one is really digging his ideas for his new toy designs, so when his visa runs out, he has to take a job as the assistant to a ridiculously over-the-top Tilda Swinton, who is this erratic outcast from the New York art scene. The trailer is narrated by Isabella Rossellini, so fingers crossed she makes an appearance. I also saw Greta Lee from Past Lives, so that'll be fun to see her again. Problemista is out in select cities. It's coming to the Twin Cities in a couple weeks. Right now, the Alamo Drafthouse is selling tickets for the weekend of March 21st. Let's hope it gets here sooner than that. Turning to books, Change by Edouard Louis just came out on March 5th. It's translated by John Lambert. If you haven't read Edouard Louis, you might want to consider it. His first novel was The End of Eddie, or for those of you who want to read it in the original French, En finir avec Eddie Bellegueule. And it was searing, an autobiographical novel of growing up gay in a working class town in the north of France. It's going to turn your whole idea of France like on its head. I mean, at least it did for me. And my mom's entire family lives in France. Now, Edouard is back with Change, which is another autobiographical novel. It's kind of his thing, which is a sequel of sorts to The End of Eddie. But here, he's grappling with a pretty big question of, how can he get past the poverty, discrimination, and violence of his working class hometown? Spoiler alert, he tries everything. He goes to college in Paris. He adopts a new name. He dines with aristocrats and rubs shoulders with drug dealers and millionaires. His goal then kind of transforms into, how can he become an entirely different person altogether? From what I've read of his work before, I think Change is going to continue Edouard's deep dive into how queerness and working class communities clash, but also take on how the affluence of urban cities isn't always what it promises to be for queer people. Change came out on March 5th. It is available through our bookstore at bookshop.org/shop/thisqueerbook. And for fans of Tales of the City, a new novel is out, the 10th in the series. Mona of the Manor by Armistead Maupin just came out on March 5th. We're headed back to the early 1990s, but not to San Francisco. We're off to England and the Cotswolds. I'm not sure where that is, but since Armistead has been living in the UK for a number of years now, it does make sense that his new novel would be set in the UK. And Maupin immerses us in the world of Mona Ramsey, which actually does start in San Francisco, but she's married one Lord Teddy Ruffton to help him get a visa to remain in the US, but due to a series of events, she ends up being the sole owner of Easley House, which is Teddy's gorgeous country manor in England. But it's expensive, so she has to open it up to tourists because the roof is leaking and she can't afford to keep the lights on. Mona befriends Wilfred, and of course there is this kooky old gardener, Mr. Hargis. Michael Tolliver and Anna Madrigal are on their way to visit, but Mona gets embroiled in American intrigue when a couple arrive at Easley claiming they're there just for a weekend vacation, but Wilfred finds out they're not. So Mona, Wilfred, Mr. Hargis, and Mona's girlfriend Poppy all work together, or have to work together, to sort it all out and get Easley into tip-top shape for the upcoming midsummer ceremony. Mona of the Manor is out now, available through our bookstore on bookshop.org/shop/thisqueerbook. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks everyone for listening and or watching on YouTube. Our podcasts are executive produced by Jim Pounds, creative and accounting support provided by Gordy Erickson, production, distribution, and marketing support provided by Brett Johnson, Chad Larson, Laura Hedlund, and Jennifer Ogren from AM950. You can find us on social media. Search for This Queer Book Saved My Life on Facebook. On Instagram, we're at This Queer Book, and we are at @the_Gailey Show. Follow us on Instagram. We post preview interview clips from upcoming episodes before they air on the radio. For The Gailey Show, check out our YouTube channel, unless you're watching us there right now. We're also on AM950's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And as always, you can connect with us through our website, thisqueerbook.com. On our website, you can leave me a voice message of the current LGBTQ books, films, or TV you're loving right now. And if you send me a message, I will play it on the air to share with our community. And if you have LGBTQ entertainment news with a Minnesota angle, email gaileyshow@thisqueerbook.com. And until our next episode, see you queers and allies in the bookstores.